I'm Dane Young with UGASports.com, as always with my friend Jim Donnan. And Jim, you're a champion coach, but you don't have quite as many titles on your wall in some cases as our guest today.
For sure. One of my best friends ever, and probably I call him the John Wooden of swimming coaches. And I'm going to have to put my glasses on there because I made a few notes before. Jack, I want you to be embarrassed here, but I'm going to call this out here. This is Jack Bauerly, and all he's done is be seven-time NCAA Coach of the Year, 18-time SEC Coach of the Year, seven NCAA championships, 12 SEC championships, 50 top 10 NCAA finishes, 18 Final Four finishes, and is the second all-time winningest active coach in college swimming. Other than that, Jack, you hadn't done anything.
Yeah, actually, I'm the winningest active second all time. There's a guy from Boston. You're going to love this, Jim. Boston College that has me. And I'm not saying he's a great and a really great guy. They've never won many national championships, but boy, he's won a lot of meets. I think I could coach another 50 years and never get him.
Yeah, he's won a lot of those catfish meets, but you've won all the big ones. And also Georgia Hall of Fame in the state of Georgia, just a lot of things. We're going to talk about the Olympics here at the end, and you even got somebody bringing in something to drink for you. That's good. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, it's my mother's influence. This is Kristen.
All right, Kristen, good job. Get on there and help us out.
Yes, anytime. I'm here to assist.
Well, she's a little bit like Radar on MASH.
Yeah. So, Jack,
Thanks, Chris.
going into this year, we're going to talk about the men's for a little while and then the women. But, what a great finish you had in the NCAAs. And tell us about this year and how it all transpired for the men.
You know, sometimes, Jim, I mean, you coach, so you understand. Some years are really just special, and this was one of them, because they did a good job, number one, with the drivers. We had our typical hiccup that every program had when the kids came back to see each other and haven't seen each other for a while. We only had about three or four positives. And then after that, we had two the entire season with over 60 athletes. So, we had some exposures, obviously, because of that. But one reason we were successful is because the guys and the ladies bought in and sort of did a job with it. We're very responsible. And we still have to finish the drill, to be quite frank with you, because we have Olympic trials. We leave in 41 days here. But answer your question, great finish, the guys. We started the season. Sometimes we've had national championship seasons. I mean, it's hard to beat a national championship, but when your team accomplishes everything that they could possibly do, that's a successful season. And I think on both men and women, I think you said start with the men. I will. We're top four in the country. We were supposed to be 10th or 12th because we lost some guys, and we just kept getting better and better and better, and we ended up top four in the country.
Yeah, we'll get into those women here in a minute. But just from the standpoint of the training that's involved and the time, I know you're restricted to so much and they do a lot of volunteer work. But just go through the training and the way these kids build up to get ready for the NCAAs.
Well, we get 20 allowable hours, and then, and we take advantage of every minute, actually. So bottom line is, most of the times, they start practice at 5:30, they're in the water, and it's they leave around 7 or 7:15. They lift weights, they grab a quick eat weights, and they come back, for another 2 hour plus shot in the afternoon time. So usually on maybe on a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, they're in there, they're participating for about 4.5 or 5 hours. In a program such as ours that allows that has a culture that is of excellence, I would think, and we have a pretty high bar. Many kids just come in on days they don't even need to. It's pretty amazing. And so hats off to them for doing it. And even on voluntary days, like right now it's during finals time, we had a full house this morning, everybody's in. So they can sort of do what they want, but they're here. And we're not allowed to tell them to be here. We're not allowed to push them to be here. and we don't, but they know if they're going to be part of this team and be an integral part of the team, this is sort of what they have to do, right? And but we, it's a typical day is just like that. And, you know, we had our highest GPA. I think we were like 3.3 something. We were almost 3.5 with the ladies in the fall semester. So they can read and write a little bit too. We've, Jim, what that probably our biggest achievement is that no one talks about. We have 39 NCAA postgraduate scholarship winners to our credit, and only 7 schools with all 20 of their sports have more than our swim and diving team.
Wow. Unreal. And also, like the people that have won the award for the SEC post, I mean, how many of those do you have? Like,
gosh, we have, I think we're second with our swim team alone, just behind Alabama on SEC scholar athletes. And so, and we also, just 2 years ago, we had a young lady, Chantel, who's from Winnipeg, who was, not only was she was chosen as the outstanding student at the University of Georgia, and she also was a bronze medalist in 2016. She helped us to a couple NCAA championships, and she was, anyhow, we've had some special kids. Hey, they can read and write. Tell them
that's, to do this. That's definitely important. Go, come on in, Dan.
Yeah, Jack, when COVID hit and everything was disrupted, how did your team stay conditioned? Because a lot of that fell on personal responsibility, right?
Yeah, that's where it got a little crazy, actually. We were very fortunate. We had a couple places here in Watkinsville that we were able to train. This was shut down to us. We were not allowed on any university setting, including the weight room. So I had a coach, a club coach out in Watkinsville, and we had probably about 40% of our team there, 50%. So we kept in pretty good shape. I started at first. Jim plays, I'm fortunate enough to play tennis with Jim, one of our tennis buddies, Gary Avon, sat at a backyard pool. I had, he said his his wife was real excited about it because all of a sudden they looked out and a 20-yard backyard pool out there in Crystal Hills. We had about 6 Olympians going up and down in the backyard. And Carl Stenowitz, who lives real close to Coach Dooley, he had a beautiful pool. We were in there. We tried to find any piece of water that we possibly could. And that was happening in April and May. And then things loosened up a little bit. And then we were out in Summer Hill and 12 Oaks in Watkinsville. I had 6 or 7 Olympians in one pool. So, but anyhow, they stayed in pretty good shape. There was certainly some that could have done a heck of a lot better, and they paid the price when they got back. And so but we came together and they did a pretty darn good job. But the ones that really did a good job in the summer were rewarded. We only had a few that I would say out of the 60 fell off the tracks a little bit, but a lot of that was just because of where they were from. It was very difficult, and some were able to get into some friends that had a backyard pool that was 25 yards. Like California, we have kids there. That was a lockdown. Places in Florida, it was really tough to get in. But anyhow, they did a good job with it. And then when we got them back, we didn't waste any darn time getting them back where we needed to.
Yeah, so for our fans here, you have approximately how many guys will be on the team, and you got swimming and diving involved in these schools. So about how many kids are involved in the men's program? And we'll get
it's pretty even, Jim. It's right around 30 and 30. And we have some of those are divers, sort of like you when you had a couple of punters and kickers. So I view divers the same way. People don't know. I think, was it your sophomore, Jim? Did you lead the ACC in punting?
Yeah, we punted so much, my average hurt a little bit, but I can't believe it.
You got a lot of practice.
I can't believe you remember that. But anyhow, yeah. I think it's just the idea that these kids have to be able to not only swim, you know, their major stroke, but, you know, the relays that are involved, that's where they get a lot of points. And, you know, so many of our fans watch us and get a chance to come to some of the meets, but I know last year we were actually going to have the NCAAs here at UGA, and because of COVID, had it knocked out.
That was even a tougher thing because we were hosting Dane, and Jim knows because, you know, everything was set up. We were having a party, and we already put lipstick on everything here. And then we had to, I had to come in the office every day and see that everything's still here. And they didn't take everything away until probably July. You know, we had the blue and white lane lines instead of the red and white, which I don't like. But anyhow, but it is the NCAA signs everywhere. So it was a constant reminder of what almost happened here. And we were only literally days away from having that meet. And so if we'd had it, I think we'd have 52 top 10 teams. So, but we were ready to go on that one too. But I think this year we were a better team than we were a year ago for sure. Anyhow, they just generally did a really good job with it. And it takes discipline. That's when you know, but our sport's a tough one. And you can be as talented as you can be in swimming. If you don't train well, you won't do well. You cannot make up for the work that you have to do in the pool. It doesn't matter how talented you are. It's an honest sport.
Let's move over to the women's and talk about their accomplishments for the year and kind of where you see them after their season concluded.
Yeah. Well, I probably need to mention a couple guys before I go on, but remind me if you could right after. But we were led by a couple of really good seniors, one in particular, I'd say Courtney Harnish, who was a multi-champion she's won the mile, she's won the 500. She's from my neck of the woods, Hershey, Pennsylvania, right outside of Philadelphia. Tough Philadelphia type of girl. Excellent in the classroom, carries a 3.7 finance. I mean, she's just a great kid. And so that she led us to a heck of a, we were second at conference, I guess. We gave it a run, almost got them. And, but you know, we actually, some of those NCAA post or NCAA championship seasons, we sacrifice everything at the conference in order to be good at the end of the year. We live off of one thing, the final ranking. And we have sacrificed, you know, and probably some coaching bonuses too, just for the NCCs, just to make sure we are at our best at the NCAA. One year when we won in 2005, we were barely second in the conference. We were almost third. We were lucky to get third, but we won the NCAAs by the largest margin ever. So we sacrifice a lot on the way, which actually really makes something that the ladies did even more important because we went through a little time, Jim knows this, we went 21 years here after the second meet we lost in 1995. We did not lose again until 2000. Well, geez, 21 years later. Yeah, so at home. And which is really a testament to kids being really tough because that means they didn't lose to anybody they shouldn't have. And they beat a lot of teams that they weren't supposed to. We beat, out of those 103 wins, at least 35 were top 10 teams and we never lost at home to one of them. It's pretty cool. Anyhow, they did a good job. That was their leader. Javier Acevedo was our leader for that's hardly a Canadian name. He's got some background in there, but he was our leader for the men. And one of Jim's good friends, Pat Forty, his son swam for us, is a permanent captain after last year. And he was one of the ones that was one of the casualties of the virus last year, because he would have been a first team All-American. So had a lot of good kids, but the men's team is in place. We have a freshman of the year in Jake McGahee and Luca Orlando, whose dad actually was a thrower here. Those two are the top freshmen in the country and have a viable chance at 18 years old. They have a shot at making the Olympic team.
Wow. That's impressive. So let's go on and talk a little bit about next year and on both teams. What kind of teams you got coming back?
Pretty good, Jim. I think we're going to be as good or better. So I think the ladies will take a step up. Just in the last week, we had a couple pretty unexpected signees, I guess you'd say. you know, just like football, we have one coming through the graduate portal, and she's a heck of a student. And it was sort of a neat thing because she wanted to come here originally, and we didn't have any room in the inn that time, and she was just sort of coming up in the ranks. And she swam for a coach that I grew up swimming with in Philadelphia. He's in St. Pete now, but one of his swimmers was an NCAA champion. We'll be going into the circle of honor at some point here, Robert Margalis. And then his sister was an Olympic gold medalist for us here, still swims for me now 10 years later. And but she swims out of that team. So we have another couple of new surprises coming in. And we thought we already had a pretty good nucleus. The guys will have a boy that will start with us in January, is the number one recruit in the country. Actually, probably the world. He's coming from South Africa, but if he was in the United States, he'd be the number one kid. And so the base is there for a future success. And we feel pretty confident about all that, that's for sure.
With the Olympic trials coming, what are you expecting from your Bulldogs? Because like you said, what, 41 days away?
Yeah, it's weighs heavy, Dane. I mean, you know, it's you never go to bed without thinking about it. You don't go to dinner without thinking about it. You don't even throw a tennis ball up in the air without thinking about it, which is why I missed some of those easy shots the last time, Jim. And yeah, it's the most important thing every 4 years. And we had some viable chances last time. It was almost magical. We put six on the team. That was the most of any team anywhere. We have some chances again. I just keep knocking on wood. I don't take anything for granted, but I know there are a lot of coaches who would like to be in my spot, but they probably wouldn't understand. You know, some of them wouldn't like the pressure part of it because, you know, the disappointment is great, but the, you know, when you make it, it's great, but the disappointment if you miss is, you know, a rough one. And it's, but we have some kids that have viable shots, and we also have some kids that might be swimming against each other too for a shot. So that makes it even the chemistry a little bit, but this chemistry, this team with the pros, and also we have a pro group here, Dane, coach is very well aware of it, that has out of the eight athletes there, seven are probably top 10 in the world in their event. Mm-hmm. They've just remained to stay here and keep training. So we have a pretty good group. And just like football players, if they remain committed, they get faster and faster. Their best years can be after they finish college.
Yeah, one of the real tributes, I think, to your career, Jack, is your Olympic experience as far as just your peers choosing you to be a coach, as assistant, as a head coach. Tell us a little bit about that background and what it's meant to you professionally and personally to be an Olympic coach.
Well, professionally, it was a dream come true, Jim. The first time we did it, first time I had a medalist was in 96 with Sheila Taramina. And Sheila retired. She was already 27. She retired from swimming. So in 2000, she did the triathlon. She won the triathlon trials. And then she went to Sydney and in Greece. And then she retired from that. And then she went for made it for China. So we have a young lady from our program here that is no longer real young. I shouldn't say that about her now, but she made it in three separate sports at the Olympic Games. The only person ever to do so. 2000 is real fortunate. I had my first time, we put five on the team. So I was named an assistant coach. And generally you have to put two or three on the team. So five sort of sealed the deal. When as a personal coach, just to oversee a couple swimmers. We had another coach that was getting Eddie out. And then 2008, I was head coach for China. 2012, did the same thing. We had kids gold medal there. We've had kids gold medal now since 2000. And then in 16, I went again as an assistant coach, and hopefully we put enough kids on that I can coach them. The thing that you want, it's really important to those athletes when they go through their whole career and they're with you, you want to be there for them when it's the most important time, because there's a 6-week time period in there where or training before, after trials, and go to the Olympic Games themselves. And Jim and Dane, there's something here. Somebody asked me about this yesterday. I always forget to say this. People don't realize what kind of commitment it is after they make the team. We'll come back here for about a week. So we'll have 8 days this time. We will go to Hawaii after that, and we'll have a training camp before we go to Japan. We'll have a short one probably in Texas, this year, and then go to Hawaii. But during that time, the family will only be able to see their child twice, or if they're married, which some of them are, with children. I'm married, I have kids. I can only see them 2 days out of those next, you know, whatever that may be, 50 days plus. And actually, you probably get a chance to see them 2 days out of probably almost 2.5 months when it gets down to it. So we try to make sure they're locked down, so we have them in this enclosed environment. So everything they do, everything they think of, is trying to be successful at the Olympic Games. And that's why we are so successful as a team. We make it a total lockdown, try to keep everything from the outside where it is, and make their life just one thing: success at the Olympic Games. After that, they can unwind.
And hey, you guys were way ahead of COVID as far as locking people down then. You know,
we know how to do it. Yeah, we know how to do it. But it's really important, because you know, as soon as you get something, if you make an Olympic team, and then all of a sudden they're back in their towns, everybody's on them. So we try to get that over with. And you remember we did a thing here at the Butts Mare with the Olympians, and in between, took 2 hours. And after that was it. You know, we were in training and we had to get ready. But if you let them here for 2 or 3 weeks, everyone would be asking them to do this, and that. They would get tired just talking with their friends about it. So anyhow, we put them away, and that's the way it is. But it works out every year, because we're like the Yankees. You know, everyone wants to beat us, and we have proven that we're the best swimming country in the world for the last 30 years, 40 years. So we have to keep it going.
So finishing it up here, Jack, it's certainly been enlightening about the swimming program, but you've been here since the Depression. I mean, how long have you been here as the head coach now? And what's your role going forward? What do you, you know, like to ask Nick Saban, how much time you got left? What do you got left in the tank here?
I'm 1 year closer to retirement. So I have no idea. I usually have a meeting at the end of the year. I mean, 10 years ago, I felt like retiring and had time to do so and was fine to do so. But, you know, every time it changes. I'll have a meeting here, I think, soon with Josh, and then, you know, Jerry, our president, Moorhead, and who I have a wonderful relationship with. And then we just talk about it, and then we just sort of go from there. Right now, just focusing on, you know, we had NCAAs. And I got to tell you, this year was fun as heck. Maybe one of the most fun in my career. I was really fortunate. But I got this job in 79, as you were alluded to. So this was my 42nd year, I think. I think it might have been a gymnastics coach from LSU or softball. No, it couldn't have been softball. Probably gymnastics. Someone just retired, so I'm the longest tenured in the SEC. But I had no earthly idea when Coach Dooley hired me this would happen. And, you know, Jim, I told you, I think I found the letter from Liz Murphy, our women's AD to coach, that they found this guy who was sitting here. I was a grad assistant. And her fear was it might take $10,000. But I think he would be a good pick for the head women's coach job. And I always ask Coach whatever happened to the other two, because he offered me 8. So anyhow, it all worked out. But, you know, it's just been a dream come true. You know, just going to school here at Georgia, being around the likes of you, Ray Goff, Coach Dooley too. And, you know, I mean, Jim and I get a chance to be on a court together. And I'll say something. Jim was like this, Ray was like this, Mark Rick too, but Jim was always made time. And anytime I had a recruit, bam, you know, I could bring him over, he would talk with him, and they always liked having something to do with football. And Kirby did the same thing with that boy, Jake McGahee. He had to spend an hour with him right in this office here, and that's the best freshman in the SEC and the best one in the in the country. So, but being with, you know, being a big football fan, I mean, I'm sitting here with all sorts of pictures around me. There's Stinchcomb, there's Tim Morrison. I got Herschel over here, Andy Johnson. You know, I just, it's just a fun, it's almost like a Walter Mitty dream being able to be here in the situation that I'm in. And you know, Jim knows well, Coach McGill had an awful lot to do as a mentor also. He just sort of showed us what to do in a way, Jim. He didn't never really told me anything, but just watching him the way he was and the way he communicated with the whole community was really special. So we were lucky always to be on a court with him sometimes.
Yeah, well, hey, Jack, we appreciate you sharing some of your info on the team and for our fans here to get a little bit more insight into the Bulldog swimming. But when they created the moniker Damn Good Dog, they had one in mind when they talked about Jack Byerly, because I can't think of one that's any better than you. And
thanks,
it cares more about Georgia, not only swimming, diving, everything, just the university, the athletic program, Athens, everything. I mean, we're very fortunate that you've been a part of the Georgia community, and I hope you can keep it up as long as you want to be. I'm
well,
sure you'll do it.
Jim, Georgia gave me my life, you know, and I owe her everything. I really do. Sounds sappy as heck, but it's true. And it's been an amazing, as soon as I came here on that recruiting trip, that was it.
That's the way to do it. Well, all right, Dane, you can close us up here, but good job.
Thanks, Jim.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Jack.